The first person that comes up on my damn Hinge.
Most compatible. Oh, he's hot.
He's very hot. As hell.
Oh, he's hot.
Great job.
Go off.
Great family.
Go off.
Great person.
Wow.
Hinge is a black hole if you don't pay for it. And I didn't actually see the light until over the weekend. I was like, you know what? Like, I have not been going on enough dates.
Pay to play. I did have a candle explosion. You see?
Oh my God. That's what candle. Happened there?
That's wax. So, word to the wise, Anthropology candles, like the bougie ones, okay? Like the volcano candle, the OG, can leak out the bottom.
Wait, so is it that one? It's that candle?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you just put another candle on top of it as to like kind of hide the...
No. Nope. So...
It kind of looks cool.
No, exactly. Okay. Okay. Thank you for backing me up on this. Jack was like, we should scrape the wax off the... So what you can't see, listener, is there's a volcano candle underneath my TV on top of like a couple of gallery books or what are they called? Like...
Table books.
Oh, coffee table books. Coffee table books. And so a candle... I shouldn't have had the candle right on top of the coffee table books. I'm realizing that now. But alas.
I would say most people put candles on top of the coffee table.
You know, you can't go back in time. Also, it looked really cool. So whatever. So it was on there. And then I was very busy doing the wallpaper over the weekend. I did this whole peel and stick wallpaper adventure. And I guess while I was in the other room doing the wallpaper, the candle at some point started to leak. It didn't explode. It wasn't anything scary. The flame was like totally, like nothing bad happened except for wax just started to ooze out of the bottom of the candle, I guess. And it created this like waterfall effect over the books.
It's like, I'm going to paint the picture for the
people. Yeah, you can paint the picture because I'm obviously making it sound beautiful. It might not actually be.
There's a coffee table book and it says baguette on it. And where the U is on the baguette, there is this fungi-esque looking wax cascading over the baguette.
It does directly look over like a mushroom.
It does look like a bunch of white mushrooms. And now that I'm picturing it as that, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
No, it's gorgeous. It's like a waterfall. You know when a waterfall freezes?
Yes.
Like it goes, it's frozen, so then, but it keeps its shape.
I see the vision.
Yeah.
That, I don't think that's what that's giving though yet. I think we need...
yet.
We need a taller stack of coffee table books and we need the wax to drip more.
Okay, so it needs to be more intentional is what you're saying. So I need to intentionally... drip wax over.
If it's gonna be oozing out, I think you just need to let it take its course. Like, I think you just need to operate under the, like, I'm picturing you walking out of your wallpaper room and freaking out and being like, oh my God, there's wax everywhere.
Well, I did freak out because initially when wax is dripping, it's liquid.
Yeah.
But then of course it hardens and yes. It looks kind of cool. So then I was like, so Jack was like, we need to clean this up. And I'm like, but why? It looks so cool.
I see the vision. Right now, I think it looks like a bunch of mushrooms.
Okay. Well, when Colby returns from her weeks in the sun, she's still in Florida, everyone.
No, literally. I'm losing my mind.
Adam has lost his roommate. When she returns, she can be the tiebreaker vote and tell us what to do with the wax.
I texted Colby last night.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Not well.
You don't like well, being bitch. Alone.
Hate it. I texted Colby last night and I was like, this has fully made me realize that I would actually not survive living alone. Like, I would have a full crash out. And I can't tell if it's just because I'm not used to living alone. So being alone for literally at this point, like almost 2 weeks, I'm just like, God, this is horrible. And it also made me realize that if you live alone, you kind of need to make sure that you're stacked with social plans every single night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just in your own little world.
Yeah. You know? When I lived alone, I literally had plans every single day, like every night after work.
And I haven't had to do that because I'll come home and like Colby and I will hang and she'll kind of like take me out of my work bubble.
Yeah.
But now that Colby's not home, I literally come home and I just get back on my laptop and I just work until I go to bed.
Well, there is also something to say about enjoying your own company and having like a night in and enjoying it.
I don't.
But I feel like you can't, that's not possible for you.
I don't like my own company. I don't want to sit with my own company. I don't want to be alone with my thoughts.
Yeah.
I want Colby yapping at me in a corner and me not paying attention, but I just want the yapping happening. I miss my buddy.
I'm sure she misses you too.
I'm sure she doesn't. She's in Florida.
Well, yeah, she is.
Soaking up the sun, and I'm sure she's having a great time.
She texted me last night. She was like, yeah, tomorrow I'm off work. So, like, for the rest of the week.
Oh, so nice.
So she's just like, yeah, I'm just going to tan.
No, she's probably having the best time.
No, literally the best time. Has she sent you any photos of herself?
Yeah, she's so burnt.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was like, you look great. I was like, oh my God, you look so tan. I was looking back at videos of myself from the summer because I really wanted to like torture myself, you know, over how tan I was. I was like, I saw this trend. I want to make a video about it where it's like looking back at videos of XYZ, like my dead wife or something. Have you seen this?
No, I don't get it. Explain.
Like a dead wife. Like it's like you look back. It's like you miss a phase of your life.
Why does it have to be so aggressive?
I don't know, but it's a trend right now. People are so crazy. Like the trends, who knows why these things. But it's like people look back on like old haircuts, like looking back on when I had long hair. When someone like makes a bad call and they cut their hair short, they look back at videos of themselves with long hair like a dead wife.
Oh, okay.
It's like you miss it and you're sad.
Interesting. Okay, that trend.
So I was looking back on videos of myself tan and thinking.
Got it. Like a dead wife.
Like a dead wife.
That trend has not hit my desk. Do you get the drag paths?
Of course not.
A drag path. You don't get that?
Okay, fill me in.
People have to get the drag paths. A drag path is the most depressing trend on TikTok. So a drag path is basically like, what's the best way to describe it? It'll be like the way to describe it is also so heart-wrenching because like.
Just say it.
It's like if your parent died. But like, some tragic accident, but the drag path is like the last text they sent you. And it's like, I love you, Katie. I'm so proud of you. You're doing so great in life. And then they like tragically die the next day. I need to knock on someone. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the way to describe it is so tragic, but that is what a drag path is. It's like the thing that reminds you of something that happens is tragic, I guess. Or like, it's like the beautiful thing that happened before
the
something
last
horrible.
Straw before.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it could be, for example, like a nice text someone sent to their significant other right before they break up with them.
Exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. That could be a drag
path. Or like the last.
That's like a much better way to describe
it. The last fun day you had with your significant other before they dumped you.
Correct. Exactly.
Wow.
Or it's like.
That's depressing.
So depressing.
So what is it? People make videos about this?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And it'll be like a drag path, but it's my like. You know, whatever.
It's
last text that my boyfriend sent me before
me getting
he broke up with me or something like that.
Drag path.
People who listen to the pod have to get this trend because it's all over my free page and I can't tell if it's because I watch all of them all the way through multiple times.
Well, that encourages your algorithm.
Sitting crying, basically. Okay.
Oh, it's a 21 Pilots song?
Yes.
Okay, that tracks. You know, I went to a 21 Pilots concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when? it was crazy. I was in the mosh pit. It was a crazy moment in my life.
Oh, my God. I don't even know who 20... What else do they sing? 121 Guns. Is that 21 Pilot?
That's Green Day. 121 Guns. No, that's Green Day. 21 Pilots, there's so many. Do you know, like, Blurry Face?
No.
Okay.
I don't know that one.
All right.
No, literally, all these drag paths are... so freaking depressing.
Oh, I'm seeing it. Oh my God, people get millions of views on these videos.
A drag path. And it's this song, huh?
Okay, so I'm totally understanding the origin of this now. It's from a song.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm seeing one video. My drag path is the stethoscope I've used to pronounce the death of thousands of people.
That is so depressing.
So depressing, but I get it.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, okay, wait. I found... So, of course, someone in the comment section was like, can someone give us a definition of drag path? I've heard this a couple times, and I'm not sure what it means.
Yeah.
Someone said, a drag path, often known as a desire path, is in the literal sense a worn-down path due to it being walked over and over. They're commonly found in forests. In the figurative sense, it's more so used to describe one's path in life that they've settled into in most cases. I'm assuming the context of this is that her stethoscope has been with her for a large part of her death doula journey. Oh, I guess that's what she does. And has become a bit of a drag path in its own right from pronouncing people dead over and over again.
Okay, so I explained it very poorly then.
It suggests when you endured so much trauma, it etches a pathway through your life forever.
Yeah, so anyways, that's my entire TikTok.
Oh my God, this is so upsetting, Adam. Are you okay? Okay,
literally
Colby leaves for 2 weeks. Adam is down the drag path side of TikTok.
No, no, my drag path is my TikTok for you page at this point. Like, I, my drag path is my TikTok for you page when Colby leaves the house. It's just so depressing.
Oh my God. Okay. Now I'm scrolling through the whole trend and really
bad.
You're
going to get a bunch of drag paths and you're going to be like, wow, this is like actually mortifying. That's my, yeah. So I'm not getting the same things that you're getting on TikTok right now.
I'm getting dead wife, but like, it's actually like not that deep. It's not that deep. It's
that
like,
that was the first thing I thought of though. Katie's talking about dead wives. And I was like, oh, so you're also getting drag paths.
No, no, no. I was just, mourning my tan from summer.
Okay.
Cause I had such a good tan last summer.
We all did, honestly.
You know, like, some summers just like hit different with the tan. Like sometimes you just like, you put in a little extra work and
100%.
It really pays off.
Are you guys doing the house again? Is the Hamptons situation happening?
I don't think so, because honestly, I'm having a Euro summer. Like, I don't know how this happened to me. It was not like
in June, right?
June and like bits of other parts of the summer as well. There's going to be some hints of Euro in there. But so honestly, it comes down to scheduling. I feel like we're going to have a hard time scheduling. But who's to say? Honestly, things come together kind of last minute sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I could be sitting here being like, no, 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 we're going to Japan. I'm doing Bordeaux. I'm doing London. But we could end up.
You are having Euro summer.
We could end up in the Hamptons. But I like a weekend in the Hamptons a lot too. Like if I can't do a house in the Hamptons for a few weeks, like a weekend is perfectly fun and fine.
Totally agree.
And there's some really great hotels.
100%.
I really love Maram, like that
Maram
beachy, like
Montauk.
Yeah. Oh my God, such a fun hotel.
I didn't even know it was pronounced like that, but I also have no idea what else otherwise I would have pronounced it as.
Maram.
Maram.
I mean, it could be Maram. I could.
Maram Montauk.
I have a tendency. My strategy is to always make the word sound more fancy than it is. If I'm like taking a random guess, taking a random stab at how to pronounce something, I'm always gonna like, you know, really do it up.
Yeah.
Because then it prevents people from telling me I'm saying it wrong if they don't know themselves, because they're like, oh, it must be right because the way she's saying it is so elaborate.
For sure.
So, you know.
My recent obsession has been Hampton's houses on Zillow. Like, I'm obsessed with the concept of buying Hampton's house.
I mean, I definitely see it in your future.
All I do is look at Hampton houses on Zillow.
So would your strategy be buying one that's like completely finished, or would you buy one and flip it and then?
I think I'd want to flip something.
Yeah.
But Hampton's houses are already so exorbitantly expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally can't get a decent Hampton's house for like less than $2 million, basically.
It's crazy.
It's kind of absurd. And the houses I've been looking at, like, they'll have been listed, let's say, like a year ago for, let's say, like $1 million. And then all of a sudden they're relisted now for $2 million.
And has anything changed? Like, would people go in and
they just are assuming that like demand is so high for Hampton's houses that they'll be able to get some schmuck like Adam Harrison to go drop $2 million on this house that a year ago would have been worth $1 million. Like, it's insane.
Oh man. If we could have gone back in time to like the 80s.
No, it's really,
because
I think about it
like
constantly.
Before the Hamptons was really sceney.
Even like a few years ago, like you could have bought like a nice 6-bedroom, 7-bathroom Hamptons house. During COVID for like $2.5 million. I mean, that's obviously a lot of money, but I'm just like putting it into perspective. Like, houses in Montauk, 6-bed, 7-bath. I'm like looking at price history, like houses sold for like literally $3.2 million that are that large. And now today would be like $9 million.
We really need to win the lottery.
No, desperately. I'm kind of like, how else are people accumulating this amount of wealth to be able to afford that? I mean, if you want to buy a $9 million Hamptons house, which apparently is the going rate.
What's the down payment on that?
$1.8 million if you put 20% down.
And you need liquid, you need like in cash.
Correct.
Holy fuck.
and then you have literally a $7.2 million, if I'm doing that math correctly, I think I'm close. And then you have a $7.2 million loan that you need to pay off over 30 years that's at an 8% interest rate. I'm exaggerating. Maybe it's like a 6% interest rate, but that's insane. 6% on that? That's crazy.
Oh my God.
No, guys, like being an adult is hard. Like thinking about paying money and buying houses and all the kinds of things.
I always thought to myself, like, oh, of course one day I'll have a beach house. Like, I didn't have one growing up, but I'm like, oh, but like that's my dream, so I'll have it. I mean, granted, you could have a beach house in many other places besides the Hamptons.
Yes,
sure, you
could 100%.
Get one in Bethany Beach, Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh, absolutely. Like I mean, I'm sure it's honestly the same type of pricing math, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why, but real estate is through the roof. Like, people are dropping millions and millions of dollars in houses. Like, if I want a 3-bedroom, two bathroom shack in like the depths of East Hampton, basically, like way far away from the train station. It's like 1.8 million.
Oh my goodness.
Three bed, two bath. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And then you can rent some of those out for the summer. I've been doing all the math on this. These people who are listening to the podcast are going to be like, Adam is literally cracked out this morning. No. I would buy it for 1.8 million. You can rent those out though for like $20,000 a week. A three bed, two bath house.
I know.
It's nuts.
That's what we have done that, which is crazy. I mean, granted, we've piled a lot of people into the house.
Yeah, fair.
Because otherwise, oh my freaking God. But yeah. Like, I remember we stayed at this one house, and then the next year they put on a full addition to like the upstairs. I'm like, we paid for that addition. Like, we.
Oh my God, the loft.
Yes.
I remember.
Where you guys stayed. Yeah, the loft was fully a product of us staying there for 2 weeks.
100%. They took the rent money and they were like, we're going to build a loft.
Yeah. So anyway, this summer I'm going to Europe. Okay. Because I can't do that again.
It's insane. I also randomly, I was watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills the other day.
Yeah.
And do you know Rachel Zoe?
Of course I know Rachel Zoe.
When we were in the Hamptons last summer at that, what's it called? The party at the Surf Lodge.
Touchland.
The Touchland party.
Yeah.
I was pretty positive I saw Rachel Zoe. And then on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they're filming at the Surf Lodge. And I think it was the day of the Touchland party.
Shut up, or be in the background.
And I'm like,
I hope not.
I was literally trying to pause and look for us in the background. But I was like, oh my God, Rachel Zoe, Kyle Richards, like all these people that I am obsessed with because I love The Real Housewives. We're all there.
Wow.
I know. They live among us. They walk among us. What's the phrase?
They walk among us. They don't live among us because we do not live in places like that.
Correct. We don't live in Beverly
Hills. We are like, what's the saying? Like on the fringes of the housewives, randomly being at the same party, but not having nearly the same lifestyle as them.
No, not at all.
Not at all. We like sometimes dip our toe into like.
I'm like the last person that should belong at that event, and I'm like, oh my God, look, it's Rachel Zoe and Kyle Richards and blah blah blah.
I feel like I remember seeing her. Or who else? We saw someone else that was really famous there. Was Jason Bateman was there?
I don't even know that.
Yeah, he was. He's an actor. You know Jason Bateman.
What does he look like?
Kind of like a, well, at the time, he looked kind of like Jesus.
Like Jesus?
No, I think he had long hair.
I don't remember Jesus at the Surf Lodge.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's like long hair right now.
What is he playing?
Oh, he's in The Hangover. He's in Ozark. He's in... Horrible Bosses.
Oh, okay,
he's
yes.
Identity Thief.
Got it.
A banger. Yeah. So anyway, that being said, not sure about my Hampton summer. I think I'd go for like weekend and call
fair.
It a day.
Fair. You have a busy Euro summer ahead of you.
Yeah, I do. Japan. Well, Japan.
Right.
Also.
When's that, May?
Japan is in June.
June.
But I'm going to London end of May.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
You have a lot going on.
In the spring, leading into summer. But yeah.
I love Euro summer.
But all I want is a tan again. All I want is to revisit my dead wife, aka my tan. My tan for last year.
That's very fair. We need to do a group trip to Greece. Because Greece, as I'm sure I've talked about, changed my life.
Yeah, I want a big old block of feta.
A big old block of feta. And some olives, some green peps.
Oh my God.
You went to Mykonos, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
We went to Santorini and Athens.
Got it.
On our trip.
Mykonos is like... insanity.
I mean,
it's chaos as an island. It's really crazy.
I only ever think of Lindsay Lohan when I think of Mykonos.
What movie was that?
It's not a movie. It's like her real life. She
lives in Mykonos?
No, there's this video of her. Do you not know what I'm talking about?
No. I live under a rock.
Lindsay Lohan. Wait, am I making this up? She did this like dance. Wait, Mykonos. She invested in a beach club in Mykonos.
Which one?
What was it called? Oh, Lohan Beach House Mykonos.
Oh.
But whenever... there's this viral video. That's what I'm thinking of. Look. Of her dancing. You see her?
Oh, yes. Okay.
She is doing like a crazy interpretive dance.
Yeah, what is she doing?
On stage in Mykonos. And
wow. She's
everyone,
really getting after it.
Everyone, this is required viewing this morning. You got to watch the video. If you ever are in a bad mood, just watch the video of Lindsay dancing.
We've given the people a lot of required viewings.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to do, but I
drag
think we should.
Are not required.
I think we should. Yeah, don't feel like you need to drag yourself down that path. I think we should do the intro, and then I think we should talk about the elephant in the room. Welcome back to another episode.
Like, what's the elephant in the room?
Welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam.
Mine is Colby. Girls, how are we doing?
Well, okay, maybe it's not like an elephant per se, but it's like the topic that we need to discuss.
Which one?
Hillstone.
Oh my God, don't even get me started.
If you're not local, you might not have seen this news, but allegedly Hillstone,
it was boots on the ground journalism.
Hillstone is closing, or one of them.
Don't say it so loud.
But can you like explain to everyone what's going on and like,
okay, so the
I've only heard rumors, so I don't know what's going on.
Guys, and the rumor mill is like getting bigger.
But you guys know,
moving faster.
You guys know Adam's lore with Hillstone. It's a restaurant in New York.
It's etched into my history.
He goes like every day. He's gone on some really crazy, memorable matchmade dates.
I take all my first dates there.
He's had many makeouts in Hillstone.
It's the curse of Hillstone. Every date that I take to Hillstone, doesn't work out.
Well, now it's closing.
I think it's closing because I haven't taken a date there in a while.
But like, how can they close? I don't understand how they can close. One location?
They used to have two locations in the city. Okay, so Hillstone used to be two locations. There used to be Hillstone on Park Ave, and then there used to be Hillstone on... Maybe they both were on Park Ave, and then one of them was just higher up, because one of them was on, like, 50th Street or 60th Street, I think, like, closer to the Upper East Side. And then the other one is on Park Ave in Flatiron. And so they closed the one that was a little bit higher up, and then they kept the one that's on Park Avenue
53rd,
South.
That was when they closed.
53rd.
53rd Street location. It closed in January of 2023. And so now they have the 378 Park Ave,
right,
South.
And so it closed very abruptly. I remember I used to go to that one sometimes with one of my old mentors who lived on the Upper East Side. Hillstone is just like a establishment. Everywhere. I mean, they don't just have them in New York City. They have them in like...
Well, the food is so good. The martini's amazing. The service so good. It's hard to get a res.
It's impossible to get a res.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so confused. People go to Hillstone and they wait for tables like for hours, basically, to try to get in. It's the craziest thing. And they run such an operation there. Like, they are truly... The service is so good once you sit down. But if you're not seated, they are rude as hell to you. I mean, I took a client there maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we went to go sit at the bar and it was late and we were just getting a nightcap at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And... at that point, like, the bar had pretty much cleared out. Like, you can definitely get seated, I mean, pretty much anywhere in the city at like 10 p.m. And so I went to go sit with a client to have a nightcap 10 p.m. at Hillstone. There's like 7-8 open seats at the bar. And I sit down, like, the hostess tells me and her to go sit down. And I was like, we're just getting drinks. We sit down. And then one of the wait staff at the bar comes over to us and was like, oh, what are you guys going to have? And I was like, oh, we're just going to do drinks. Like, you can take the food menu. And she so rudely was like, oh, then we need to move you to like a different table because this is like full service, food service only. I'm like, girl, it's 10 p.m. and the half the bar is open.
Yeah, but someone will order food there. Someone will, and then give her better tips. So honestly, I see her. I see her reasoning.
As hell, because also I was like, girl, I see you all the time. I come here frequently enough where you can put some respect on my bar seat. The amount of capital I've given Hillstone.
Yeah,
like, they cannot close because Adam Harrison has fueled their growth, their rent, everything that they need to survive.
Well, this guy made this TikTok. His name is Zach Olson. And he made this TikTok, which came across my desk, and it said, someone on Friday told me Hillstone and Park Ave is closing. I don't know if it's true. This is what I was told. The comments are crazy. Like, and honestly, his video was really good. Like, I want to follow this guy.
It was
like,
so good.
He was great. But I've read some comments now, 11 hours ago, boots on the ground journalism. Not only is Hillstone not closing, they just renewed their lease for another 10 years at this location. We are all marked safe. My dad is friends with the owner and confirmed today after I called him in a panic. But again, this is one commenter. Like, is this real or is this not real?
It's hard to believe TikTok commenters because TikTok commenters love to throw around a random flex and be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you ever read the comments that are like, oh, I was babysat by Paris Hilton?
Yeah, like, okay, I need citations here.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't like have like a, if you've like your username is user 12345, like, I'm not trusting a single thing you say.
100%. Okay, so was their username user 12345 or what was the situation?
No, this person looks, well, she's private. Her name is Hannah.
How many followers, likes?
She has 2,500 followers.
Okay.
That
seems kind of
legit. She seems legit.
Because okay. Like the other way I verify is I go to their profile. If they have like zero followers following two people, then I'm like, you literally just made this random account to comment this on the thing because you're getting some kind of sick enjoyment out of it.
Okay, she is like in the comments, she's like, don't worry, I have an inside source, and this is confirmed with the owner today that this is fake news.
I wonder who owns
this. Wow, so this man made this video fear-mongering.
I was fear-mongered for sure.
I mean, I was really worried about you when I saw this come across my desk. I'm like, what is Adam going to do?
No, people were tagging me in it. Like, I was stressed. I was like, honestly, like, what am I to do? Like, that's very scary. So I'm happy to hear that this is resolved on the podcast, because I was thinking about it this morning.
Wow, 123,000 people saw this video. And freaked the fuck out.
I mean, Hillstone is an establishment, guys. No, like, I know. It's not like some, you know, run-of-the-mill place.
It's the kind of place where when you order a martini, you order your martini, you have a few sips, and then, you know, you get lost in conversation or eating, and then your martini starts to get like a little bit warm, you know. They come over, they see it, they have eyes like a hawk. They come over with a brand new, fresh, chilled glass, and they pour your old martini into the new glass. So every sip is chilled.
It's iconic.
Like, I'm sorry, no one else does it like them.
No, it is premium customer service, except for when they try to kick me out of the bar, but you know what? It's okay.
It's crazy, the comments in this video. Like, people are literally shooketh. They're like, no, this can't be true. No.
No, I'm telling you, people are obsessed with Hillstone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not some random restaurant. It's a New York establishment.
Well, I'm glad that we addressed this and got to the bottom of it and dispelled the fake news.
No, I'm so glad, because honestly.
That would be devastating for you.
So devastating.
Where would you go make out with all your dates?
I don't know. I haven't taken... Wait, actually, speaking of dates. So I can talk a little bit about dating on this podcast today, because something that I did over the weekend, because I went to a dark place, is I repurchased Hinge.
Okay, wait. So walk me through this thought process.
Hinge is a black hole if you don't pay for it. And I didn't actually see the light until over the weekend. I was like, you know what? Like, I have not been going on enough dates. Like, I actually need to like get back into it. And objectively, I have been meeting people in the wild now that I've been hanging out with more gays more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So that is always like a path for me or an option. However, I was like, I need to expand my horizons. I need to make sure I'm getting like the full scope of potential suitors for me. And Hinge right now is not doing it for me. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm just going to pay for it. For context, Hinge used to pay for Colby and I to have Hinge Premium for free because of the podcast. And I think like our situation just expired with them.
I think we need to reach out and...
No. Hinge, if you see that, if you hear this.
Reinstate our partnership with them.
If you hear this, you need to give it to me for free again, because I will hype it up all over this podcast. I'll go on a million dates. I'll talk about them all, like, and I'll reference that Hinge is the one that introduced me to them, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to call you Voldemort on the podcast because I refuse.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, we love Hinge. Well, okay, so how much is it?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. Something that's stressing me out this month is I have such a crazy travel schedule, and I really am just so overwhelmed with everything that's going on. But that's okay, because no one has the answers all alone, which is why therapy can help.
BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And I love it because they do the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. You just fill out a short questionnaire that helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12+ years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means that BetterHelp typically gets it right on the first try. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations.
With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Check it out.
What if the safest place to hide is also the most dangerous? From best-selling author Shane Rose comes Behind Closed Doors, a dark, suspenseful, ultra-spicy romance. It's definitely on my TBR. So excited to read this book. When a young woman's life is suddenly put at risk, she's taken in by a brooding billionaire single dad and offered a job that she can't refuse, live-in nanny. But his home isn't just luxurious, it's inside an ultra-wealthy, gated enclave where everything looks perfect.
and nothing actually is.
He's protective, possessive, completely off limits, and the closer she gets to him, the more she realizes his world is way more dangerous than she ever imagined. It's no surprise Shane Rose has become a full-on book talk obsession.
If you're craving a dark, addictive, can't look away romance that'll take over your weekend, Behind Closed Doors is your next read. You can find Behind Closed Doors by Shane Rose wherever books are sold in print and in ebook.
Check it out. Okay, you guys know how much I love my apartment. I love being home. Home is where the heart is, and it's more than just where the furniture is. It's an extension of who you are. Even small details like a rug can completely change how a space feels, and that's why we love Ruggable.
I added one of Ruggable's more neutral, modern rugs to my bedroom, pulled the whole space together, made it look amazing. I really wanted something that looked a little bit more elevated and intentional, but still felt practical for everyday life. And the design of the one I got is this really clean, cozy vibe, and I've already had friends ask me where it's from. What sold me was that it doesn't just look high-end, and it's also machine washable, which is huge when you're constantly hosting or just living life in your apartment.
They have a high quality look and feel that feel like a traditional rug, even though they're easy to clean. Refresh your home at ruggable.com. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with promo code MATCHMADE at ruggable.com. That's ruggable.com. And use show code MATCHMADE at checkout.
Check it out. It's not cheap. I think I had to pay like...
How much is it?
I think $100 for 3 months.
For 3 months?
That's not even a long time.
But if it means meeting your significant other...
Guys, I will say that.
That's the thing. You can... With these things, they're geniuses. Because, yeah, you can rationalize it. Like, what is the price you would pay to meet your man?
No,
you
know what I mean? Hinge also has...
It's kind of genius for
them. They have the most brilliant strategy ever because they will send you into such a death spiral that there is no human out there. And Hinge throws you into such a deep, dark, depressing hole that you're forced to explore purchasing it. Because then the thoughts start coming in my head. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just need to purchase Hinge and like see the light.
And then you're like, I'm obsessed with it. I love it here.
I saw the light.
I literally
saw the light. I bought it within 2 seconds. I had like 50 million likes in my thing. Hinge was all of a sudden showing me these guys I've never seen before in my entire life. Like, I think we've talked about the Hinge algorithm before because I read a little bit about the Hinge algorithm like months ago, I think. And the way that they do it is it based on the amount of people that are liking your profile and spending time reviewing your profile. So if Katie looks at Adam's Hinge profile and she spends 15 seconds on that profile scrolling up or down before she like hits a like, it's basically like, oh, people are spending more time on the profile, they're like enjoying their prompts, they're enjoying their pictures, they're spending more time on it, so like they're gonna rank you higher than somebody else. Like if they looked at Colby's profile and that person only spends 6 seconds on Colby's profile and doesn't like Colby, okay, so then the Hinge is essentially bucketing you into like hot or not. Basically, it's like ranking you on a scale of 1 to 10.
Damn. But like how long someone spends on your profile is not indicative of whether or not they like you.
Correct.
Because you could spend a lot of time on someone's profile and be like, I made up my mind. I'm actually not interested in this person, but I'm like intrigued by their prompts or something. For you know what I mean?
And that was objectively a bad example. I'm sure what it's overly weighting is how many people are liking you. If a ton of people are liking you on Hinge, you're all of a sudden a 10 in Hinge's eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And so what Hinge is going to start doing is if you're a 10, it's going to start gating you from the 11s. So if I'm a 10...
From the 11s.
Because like...
So the 11s can't get to you?
No. So if I'm like an 11, I'm like top tier. I'm using bad numbers. Like I should just use 10s and 9s. If I'm a 10...
Okay, you're a 10.
Okay, I'm a 10. It's going to let
you
me...
You are a 10.
Not in Hinge's eyes. If I'm a 10, it's going to let me see other 10s, okay? If I'm a 9... It's not going to let me see 10s. It's only going to let me see 8s and 7s if I'm not paying. So actually, that is a good example then. If I'm a 10, it's only going to let me see 8, 7, 6. If I'm a 9, it's only going to let me see 7, 6, 5.
I see. You know what I'm saying?
It's not going to show you the 9s and 10s because they want to incentivize you to purchase Hinge.
What's crazy to me is how they figure out... I mean, I guess it makes sense. You're right. The sheer number of people who are liking, if one person is like really popular,
then they're going to...
But so they're seeing everybody.
Well, only if they're paying for it.
Only if they're paying
for it. So if I'm a 10, if I'm ranked as a 10 on Hinge, even if I'm a 10, they're only going to show me like the people that I'm able to like are going to be like 8, 7, 6. If I'm paying for it, they'll show me other 10s.
Oh my goodness. I'm following now.
Sorry,
okay.
I explained that so poorly. Hopefully the people followed.
I think it makes complete sense.
But it's the craziest thing. And I realized that's what's happening because now I'm paying for Hinge and now it's all of a sudden showing me tens. Like if I'm a six, it's now showing me sevens, eights, nines, tens. Mm-hmm. Before, if I'm a six, it was showing me like 5, 4, 3, 2s.
So
4, 3, 2s.
When you are seeing these people mm-hmm. and you're chatting with them, are they talking back to you?
Like, yes,
great conversations.
The first person that comes up on my damn Hinge.
Most compatible. Oh, he's hot.
He's hot as hell.
Oh, he's hot.
No, Kath, I'm telling you, like, I right now have like millions of matches, millions of guys respond, like messaging me. I have 36 likes that I need to find time today to go through and review. Like, I am thriving on Hinge now that I'm paying a freaking arm and a leg for it. But I'm like, wow, this is what the other side is like, huh? Like, interesting. So anyways, words to the wise, guys.
The world we live in.
You need...
That you have to pay to pay to play.
No, it's crazy. It's such a good idea on Hinge's part, though. Like, they really have cracked the code.
Yeah.
Because I was so frustrated and fed up with the apps that I was like, I think I just need to pay for it and see what's on the other side. And I saw the light. And now I'm like, wow, maybe if I paid for it a year ago, I'd have a boyfriend. But then in my head, I was also thinking about people that I know that have recently gotten into relationships. And like one of my old roommates, for example, I know that he's like a voracious Hinge payer. Like he paid for Hinge, was going through Hinge, like going on millions of dates. Uh-huh. Recently, he's found a girl that he's now dating. This other...
Did he find her on Hinge?
Yes.
Through having a premium membership?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's stunning.
Oh.
Great job.
Go off.
Great family.
Go off.
Great person.
Wow.
Nice girl. Like, I'm like, wow. Wow. Pay to play. Pay to play.
Interesting. Well, I met Jack on the free version of Hinge.
Okay. We got a contrarian opinion.
So, well, I'm just saying it's possible.
Yep. Okay.
It is possible.
It's possible, but it's hard.
Exactly.
Are you sure you didn't have the paid version? I feel like that's when they were sponsoring us or giving us free Hinge.
I did not have the paid version.
Okay.
I did. At one point in time, I had the paid version, but I was paying for it. I don't think I needed it when they offered it because I was already paying for it.
Got it.
Whatever. But now I've worked with Hinge a million times. Like, thank you, Hinge. Thank you so much for working with me.
Yeah, that's why Katie's like, shut the fuck up over there.
Yeah, only positive things about Hinge.
I'm like Voldemort.
I'm kidding. That's my sponsor. No, but I... Wow. Okay. So I'm excited to see what happens here with the paid Hinge journey.
I have like a million guys in here. I will say...
This is journalism right here. Like, everyone...
Maybe this is also a factor of me expanding my age range because I am getting some 45-year-olds. They are hot 45-year-olds.
But I thought you don't want an older man.
I thought that too. I thought that too. But now I'm like, these guys are really attractive. And so I'm like, maybe I need a 45-year-old.
Well, you should definitely like explore.
I would prefer a 30-year-old, of course. 30, 31, 32, 33. Like that's going to be my sweet spot, I feel like.
Okay.
However, you know what? If it comes down to it and I need a 45-year-old, I think that's just what it's going
to
be.
Here's the thing. You go on one date, that doesn't mean you have to marry the person. Like, you can just see.
See, that's not how my brain works. Like, I think that every date that I'm going to go on, I'm like, we're getting married. Like, if I'm going on this date, like, they're going to marry me.
Well.
Or end up going, but then I usually go on the date and I'm like, I don't like them actually.
Well, of course, you go into it thinking that too. Like, I did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so delusional.
Because you're optimistic. No, it's optimism.
I think it's delusion. I'm okay to admit that. I'm delusional. I am delusional as hell. No,
I think it's optimistic. I think it's glass half full energy. But you just have to be like, don't put so much pressure on yourself. I think that's the issue. You can't put too much pressure on yourself with like,
yeah, that's fair.
Like have this date, like everything's riding on this date. Like this date is like the end all be all, because at the end of the day, some dates are just research. You don't know that they are going into it, obviously, because you never want to like treat someone like research. But in hindsight, I look at like a lot of the dates I went on before Jack, and it was truly research. Research slash
on the ground journalism.
Learning some lessons before I found the one.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't like go into it thinking it's going to be that, but then you look in hindsight. Hindsight's 2020, they say.
Hindsight is 2020, they say.
You know, I never used to understand that quote. Hindsight is 2020. I thought they were referring to the year 2020. Yeah, I truly, truly thought that.
It reminds me, I need to go to the eye doctor. But anyways, I have some great potential in here. It's so funny. So back in my early dating days. So like my early, I don't even know how old I was. It was pre-COVID, I think this happened. I had gone on a date with this, I think he was 40 at the time, maybe.
How old were you? 20?
23, 24. It was in the city.
Okay.
But it was pre-COVID. I'm 29 now, so I think it was like 24. It may have even been on one of the early episodes of the podcast, if I remember correctly. But I actually, no, it wasn't, because didn't we start the podcast during COVID?
We started after COVID.
After COVID?
Like 2021 or 2022 started.
So this date was, I think, pre-COVID. But I had matched with this 40-year-old on the league, back when the league was a thing.
The league. Oh, my God. Fever dream.
And a throwback. Like, everybody was clamoring to get on the league. It was, like, the pre-Raya days. And I matched with this guy on the league, and he was, like, 40 years old. Like, actually really attractive. Like, he was objectively a hot dad. And I was like, okay, like, I think I can do this. I was like, I'm going to go on a date with him, whatever. Like, it's going to be fun. And he asked me on a date. He was like, I'm going to take you to this really insane sushi restaurant. He took me to this like $3,000 insane sushi meal.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. And before the date, I remember being in my apartment and I was crying because I was so stressed out about going on a date with a 40-year-old. I was basically like, Alex, like, what have I done? Like, I can't go on this date with this 40-year-old. Like, this is not me. Like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't need a sugar daddy. I mean, this is my early 20s, right? So this guy is like,
well, yeah,
almost 20 years on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is just bad. I can't do it. I end up going on the date, and it was actually like such a fun date and such like a normal time. But afterwards, we went back to his hotel.
Oh, no. I know. Wait, I don't even think I know this.
Oh, you don't? He bought me a drink at his hotel, which is so funny because he spent like $3,000 on me at the sushi restaurant. We go back to his hotel, we go to the hotel bar, and I'm like, no, I'm going to buy you a drink this time because like you obviously just spent all this money on me at sushi. And so I told him that I was going to buy him a drink, and then he ended up having to pay for the drink because I couldn't find my credit card.
And classic. This is like
the pre-Apple Pay days.
Classic. Couldn't find the credit card.
I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't have my credit card with me. So I think you're
going to And he's like, so you're lying. So you don't have a credit card. You're lying to me.
No, literally. And then at that point, I was such a naive little boy. Like, I was just like,
you didn't think, oh, he probably wants to hook up with me now.
Correct. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, do you want to see my hotel room? And I was like, of course I want to see your hotel room.
Oh, my God. Seeing my hotel room is code for fuck.
Katie, I'm not even kidding. Like, I was so delusional. I thought that he just wanted to show me his cool, sweet hotel room.
Oh, sweet Adam. Oh, sweet young Adam.
I was such a sweet little baby boy. Oh. And so we go down to his hotel room, and I'm like looking around the hotel room. I'm like, oh my God, this is a great hotel room. Like, so nice. Like, blah, 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 stuff. And then I turn around and he's literally right in front of me. And then he like pushes me up against the wall and starts making out with me.
I thought you were going to say you turned around and he's naked.
No, that would be crazy. No.
It wouldn't have been crazy, honestly.
I mean, I turned around and he's like quite literally like on top of me, basically. Like,
oh, wow.
Standing directly in front of me within 2 inches and then starts making out with me.
And were you interested in this or not?
I was making out with him back. But then in my head, I'm like, oh my God, like he's 40 years old. Like I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, take the sushi and run.
20 years older. That is a huge age gap.
It's not an insignificant gap by any means.
No, it's huge. It's huge.
And so I literally like stopped making out with him. And I'm like, oh my God, like my Uber is here. Like I need to go. Like, oh my God, it's been so fun. Like, thank you for the great night. Like I need to go. And I literally like run out of the room, basically.
Oh my God, you know this man was so mad. Not that you owe him anything, and you're allowed to do that, but you know he was pissed.
100%. 100%. 100%. Also, that was definitely the first time a little gay boy has ever done that, because the gays put out, okay? Like, the gays will go to a $3,000 sushi dinner, and then they will be like, I am going home, and I'm fucking you, okay? Like, that's how the gays operate. That is not how Adam operates.
Eats their own.
For the record, but, yeah. Like, the majority of I think any gay who listens to the podcast will be like, yep, that makes sense. That's how the gays operate. Like, the gays and their 300 plus body counts. But like, unfortunately, that is not how Adam Harrison operates. I'm a sweet, innocent little baby lamb.
Okay.
I just thought we were getting sushi and hanging out, you know?
So this was like your introduction to real life.
Correct.
To yes. the phrase, there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Exactly. But there was, because I did, in fact, get free sushi. And
there is a such thing as a free lunch if you are Adam Harrison and if you know exactly the right time to skedaddle.
A drag path, but it
but it's ever since that day.
A drag path, but it's the sushi dinner I had before I realized it.
The sushi dinner that has
that life isn't actually so innocent.
That has that was the major epiphany that you needed.
Correct.
Moving to New York and understanding the world.
But I bring this guy up because when I started paying for Hinge,
shut up.
Guess who likes me on Hinge?
Him.
Is that guy. And he, what did he say?
Does he remember you?
He
shut up.
Of course, he literally likes me on Hinge and goes, "How have you been, handsome?"
Okay, so honestly, he doesn't seem that mad.
No, I think he texted me after. Like, I'm pretty sure I had his number. He texted me after, and he was like, "Had a great time. Would love to see you again."
I mean, the thing is, if you're a sugar daddy, or not even just an, you know, you're going into the situation with a younger person, and you're, you know, paying for this $3,000 sushi, or just in general. If you're just going on a date with someone and you are like bringing out the big bucks, like I remember a friend of ours from Elon would take girls out on extravagant dates. He's like a great guy. He has a girlfriend now. But at the time, he would take people out on like $700 sushi dates like twice a week.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling us like, guys, dating's expensive. I'm like, you're taking girls out to $700 sushi dinners. You don't need to do that. Like, I know that's very nice and great of you, but like you do not need to do that, you know. But like if you're doing that, you have to think like, oh, there's a chance that this person might never want to see me again. And right. I have invested a lot of money into a date that is fruitless.
100%.
Even if it, like, you didn't fucking whatever, like, but, you know, that could have led to then a second date and then, like, a third date. And then you finally fall in love and, you know.
Yeah.
But what an investment to make in a date.
100%.
$3,000, you can go on a vacation with that.
Absolutely. I will say, I know, like, what this guy does for a living, though, like, I know he's, like, fabulously, fabulously, fabulously wealthy. And so, I didn't feel that bad objectively. And also, like, he's the one who offered to take me to sushi. Like, obviously,
okay, there was... it was just, like, nickels and dimes for him.
Exactly.
Well, everything's relative.
Also, I will say, like, I have no problem with anybody who is, like, comfortable doing that. Because I think if you were somebody who's 47 years old... and you were liking somebody who's 20 years younger than you
and
offering
type.
To go to dinner with
that's
them
your type is
and
younger.
Like pay for them to go to sushi. Like you know what you're after and the person that you're doing it with knows what they're after as well. I wanted to go to a nice sushi dinner, you know?
It's a mutually beneficial situation, exactly. I guess. If both parties are satisfied in what they're getting from
100%,
it.
100%.
Yeah.
I guess if like, I mean, if I signed a contract saying, hey, I'll sleep with you if you take me to this 3,000 sushi
dinner.
Yeah,
and you did not. And also... yeah, there's never a situation where you have to do like put out.
No, 100%.
But he definitely was probably expecting it. But now he's trying to come back for round two.
He's literally like, I will get this man.
He's like, now you can buy me a $3,000 sushi meal.
Oh my god,
meal.
Imagine he like looped me into that.
Imagine, oh my god, that would be such payback. Imagine he, this is crazy. Imagine he takes you on a date or if you go on a date with him. Probably won't, but like if you do, and then the bill comes at the end and he's like, oh, so you're gonna get this one this time, huh?
I literally be like, oh
and
my
then
god,
he just walks out. And then he just walks out.
I'd be like, he's dining and dashing. I'd literally be like, I don't have a credit card,
call the police.
I would have to call the police.
Oh my god, I remember being so stressed before dinner dates. My sister just went on a dinner date recently, and so she was calling me like
Hinge guy.
Yeah, Hinge guy. Very nervous. She was like nervous about like just the bells and whistles of it. And yeah. I totally like relate because I remember being very stressed about eating in front of a date.
Yeah.
Not like the fact that I was eating, but just the fact that it could be messy and I could get food in my teeth and it just nightmare.
Yeah, I think it's so fair.
I think that's, yeah, there's so many.
I mean,
like,
first dates are hard because I feel like I don't think I've ever really enjoyed a first date, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm trying to think of all the first dates I've been on, and I'm like, I haven't really enjoyed any first date, because the first date, you don't really get anything out of it. Like,
or you kind of gaslight yourself into thinking you enjoyed it, but really, you were just in fight or flight mode the whole time.
Fight or flight. You're just thinking of the next question to ask. You're thinking of the next answer to tell the person. You're, like, basically in an interview, like, learning the most basic things about each other. Like, first dates are kind of horrible.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing for me to say. Like, maybe other people have better experiences of first dates, but I know for me, like, I'm always just like, what's the next question I'm going to ask this person? Like, I'm not even... like inhaling. I'm not even digesting the answers that
inhaling.
They're saying.
Same thing.
I don't even know what they're talking to me about. I'm just like, okay, I just asked them a question. Cool. What's the next question I'm going to ask
working.
Them?
You're working.
Yeah.
I understand that. I feel like, well, I look back on Jack and I's first date and I think of it fondly because it was our first date, I think.
At Wolfie and Nell.
Yeah, Wilfie and Nell. But I don't think it was because it was like the best day of my life.
Yeah.
Like in hindsight's 2020. Now I look back and I'm like, oh, what a great day.
You just enjoy getting to know
it. I loved it. But at the time I was really stressed out. I ordered a margarita. It was terrible. Like I look back at like random tidbits of it and I'm like, actually that was really not that great. But I just enjoyed the concept of him. Yeah. And then date two was when I really was like, oh, I'm actually kind of calm now.
Yes.
Like, I'm calm. We went to Bobo for a drink. We went to Waverly Inn for dinner. It was like...
Oh, that sounds like a lovely really, day.
He brought me the flowers.
Right.
I randomly went to a Soul Cycle class before. I don't know why I did that.
Interesting. You were buttering yourself up.
That was really crazy of me.
Getting some endorphins going.
I was like still sweating on our date. But no, I look back and I do remember being very stressed out, like before, during, and after the Wilfie and Nell date. But ultimately, I met Jack.
You met your man.
So.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
We have time for one question, and then I need to get jetting off.
All right, producer Adam,
to the work.
And next week, Colby will be back.
Hopefully. Yay!
Unless she gets stranded again,
I'd have to fly to Florida to pick her up.
No, we would have to do an on location shoot. We'd have to relocate. 100%. Okay. Hi, Katie, Colby, and Adam. I recently finished grad school, and a couple of my friends from my program are getting married, which is amazing and exciting, but also logistically chaotic. Here's the situation. I live in California, and one friend is having her wedding at the end of August in Montana. Then the very next weekend, another friend is hosting a backyard celebration in Idaho. Technically, it's not their ceremony. They're doing a small intimate wedding earlier, but this is their main party where extended family and friends are invited. So back-to-back destination weddings, back-to-back destination wedding weekends in two different states. Normally, I'd try to make both work, but here's the thing. I'm also planning a trip to Ireland this summer to celebrate finishing grad school and visit family, and I'm about to start working, which means my savings and PTO are not exactly thriving right now. Three big trips in one season feels financially stressful and honestly kind of overwhelming. My heart says support both friends. My bank account says absolutely not. My anxiety says someone will be hurt no matter what I do. If I can only go to one, I feel like the actual wedding in Montana makes the most sense, but I also don't want my other friend to feel like her celebration is less important or that I don't value our friendship. Should I go to both weddings and ditch the Ireland plan? I don't know what to do. Please help. I need to start booking flights soon. Thank you.
Wait, so the Ireland plan is her personal trip. It's not.
Yeah. So she has three things that are like she's trying to rationalize doing one or all or whatever. She lives in California. One of her friends has her actual wedding end of August in Montana. Then the next weekend, another friend's having a wedding in Idaho.
Right.
And then she's also planning on going to Ireland. It's more of like a cost thing is what she's trying to balance right now.
That's a tough one. Is there any way that you can do all of them, like budget accordingly, basically? Like do any of the trips a little bit cheaper? Like either not stay in the normal, like for example, like I'm going to this wedding in Mallorca over Memorial Day and the flights are exorbitant. The hotel's exorbitant. Being a single person going to weddings also like, holy shit. Like how is it so expensive? Especially when it's a destination wedding. I literally think the hotel is like $2,000 a night.
It's crazy.
And so I was like, there's no way I can actually rationalize that. Like it's you have to be there for four nights also to this wedding. So like what, I'm going to spend $8,000 on the hotel and then $2,000 on flights. Like I'm not spending $10,000 on this wedding. And so
can't you just go for less days?
So you can't go for less days, but I was like, I don't need to stay at this hotel. Like I'm staying off-prem basically, but I found this other, I'm doing actually an Airbnb with two of my other friends.
Oh, I remember you talked about this.
Yeah. Right, so two of my friends who were in a couple, they basically texted me and they were like, hey, like not sure how you feel about this. Like if you prefer to stay in the hotel, totally fine. But like it's $2,000 a night. It's kind of expensive. We're thinking about doing an Airbnb that's like a 10-minute drive away from the hotel and the wedding venue. Like, would you want to do that with us? And it'll be literally like a third of the price. And I was like, 100% absolutely, I want to do that. So anyways, I wonder if there are ways that you can try to explore making both weddings cheaper, if that makes sense, to like fit within your budget such that you can try to go to both and then also go to the Ireland trip. If it really is like a money thing and not at all possible to do it, I would totally pick two out of the three things that like you want to do. And if it's picking between two of the weddings, I would pick the one of the person you're closest to.
Yeah. No, it should always be the person you're closest to versus 100%. Like you mentioned something about like, oh, this is like a actual wedding or then like a ceremony. Like I think you pick the friend that you're closer to.
Yep.
That you have more history with maybe or whatever you define that as.
Yep.
I think.
Pick the wedding you're closest
to. Unfortunately, you just kind of have to do that.
Say no to the other one. Honestly, make up some excuse. Send them a gift. you don't need to overexplain everything.
Honestly, because you know? Yeah, if you say like, oh, I just have a lot of travel going on, or it's a cost thing, like that'll just kind of make them feel
just like, let it be like I can't go.
I just be sorry scheduling like
yeah.
So you probably don't even have to say a word about it. Like sorry, yep. I can't make it. So true. But then you of course send a gift.
100%.
Of always course, send a gift. Always a heartfelt card would be nice. And ultimately, like you know, people have weddings and. People can't always go. Like, there's going to be a lot of... I feel like in our lives, we're going to experience this when two people that we know and love have weddings the same weekend.
For sure.
And we're going to have to make tough decisions.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, it's like a wedding is about the bride and groom having the best day of their life.
Yeah.
Getting married. Like, sure, they want, like, a lot of people that they know and love there. But, like, if people can't come, it's not going to impact the best day of their life. You know 100%. What I mean? Like, it's not that deep.
Completely agree.
And you, of course, can make it up to them in other ways.
Yep.
You can like go on another trip with them maybe later in the year or something.
Yep.
Or come go visit, make a point to visit them. And
I think literally like that. Send them a gift.
Yeah.
Skip the wedding of the one person you're not close to. Go to Ireland. Go to the wedding of the person you are close to. And that's like the best solution. Unless you can try to find a way to make all of the events lower in cost. In which case, maybe you can try to do all of them.
Yeah. Maybe try to be thrifty. I think there's always someone who's like going to a wedding weekend that's looking to like cut costs somewhere, you know? For sure. And you can be thrifty with people.
Yeah. I'm being thrifty with this Mallorca wedding, for example. Yeah. I'm using points on the flight. Maybe you can fly Spirit Airlines.
How far? I need to like look at it. I've been to Idaho. How far is Idaho?
I literally could not even point to you on a map where Idaho is.
I know where Idaho is.
I don't know where Idaho is.
How long of a flight is it? I hate when they tell me, I Google it, they're like 743 miles. I'm like, that tells me nothing about how far away it is. I don't know. How many hours? Shut up. Oh my God, it's a 14-hour drive. I was like, 14-hour flight?
That's
flight. Nuts. Flight. Just tell me flight. Oh, 1.5 to 2.5 hour flight from California.
That's insane.
Okay, so not too bad. Time wise. No, but I get it. That's a lot of plans. And that is
so many plans.
It adds up.
Absolutely.
It adds up. It's really crazy how expensive it is to be alive.
Completely.
And
agree.
To just like go places. Like it's really crazy.
I totally
agree. Weddings are, and what you were saying earlier about being a single person, being in a couple is even worse because if it's not a friend that you two share, you're paying for it. If it's your friend, he's paying for it. If it's her, like his friend, most of the time.
Yep.
So like, for like the weddings we have like upcoming, all of our friends' weddings, I'm paying for it for Jack. And I'm like, oh my God, it's double.
It's insane.
Like not sharing a bed with someone that can split it with me. Like, oh my God.
No, guys, like the amount of anxiety I have about the number of weddings that I need to like pay as a solo person for. Like, thank God that most of the weddings I go to, Colby also goes to. So Colby and I can kind of like.
You can share a room.
Do it together.
See, that's nice.
Yeah.
But no, it's really out of hand. Anyway, I know you'll make the right decision.
Agree completely.
Dear listener.
And you know what? Don't. Be hard on yourself, you know? Like, you can do what you can. You can't do what you can't. You can't be expected to make everybody happy.
You can't do what you can't.
And you know what? That's okay.
You can't make everyone happy. And here's the thing. Like, no rational person would, like, end a friendship with someone because they can't make it to their wedding because they're having, like, a...
Totally agree.
A cost issue or, like, what... I'm sorry. Like, you will make it up to them in another way. Also, like, you can't...
Please. Don't beat yourself. Don't be hard on yourself.
You can't please everybody. You totally can't agree. Be everywhere all at once.
Everywhere all at once.
But also, congratulations on finishing grad school.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's amazing. All right, we got to wrap, Kath.
Yeah, we got to go.
Producer Adam is on the job.
I was just thinking about how fun it would be to go to Ireland.
Well, keep us posted on what you decide. I love an update.
Yeah, guys, we're here for you. Sorry,
we're here for
we
you.
Weren't too much help other than just saying pick one of the friends. And
I kind of thought we gave great advice there.
Yeah.
But I
mean, it's a tricky situation. It is hard. Obviously, you want to be everywhere all at once and do everything, but you just can't.
Every time you say that, I'm like, that's a movie.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen it?
No, but I know.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Haven't you read the book?
You read the book?
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Bye.
I was like, I don't know how to read. Love ya. See ya.
Bye. What was that book that has a similar title?
Everything, Everywhere.
What's one of the two books you've read in the past 10 years? What's the one like the cover has like, it's like video game looking.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking
about. Video game. Wow.
One of the two books you've read.
video game book.
Oh my God.
Hold on. I need to figure this out.
I thought that was what the title was.
Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. It's a redundant title.
Which I like literally bawled my eyes out at. I need to start reading again. Okay, that's all we got.
All right, bye.